This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Last month, Alaska Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan introduced legislation to create a federal salmon task force to look at salmon science and management and make recommendations to address the decline in salmon species and what might have caused the crash that occurred last summer. Here's Senator Sullivan.
The most important thing that we need to be doing is bringing together all stakeholders, the smartest people we have in terms of science at the state and federal levels, to figure out exactly where the gap is and what we think is the cause. So I've been working on a bill on this very issue.
Sullivan made that statement at a virtual salmon roundtable held a few weeks ago. The legislation introduced by Sullivan and Murkowski would create a task force that includes scientists and managers from both the state and federal governments, as well as representatives from fishing groups and subsistence users. Some have criticized the bill, saying there is no time to wait for research results. A column in the Anchorage Daily News quotes Mary Poltola, director of the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission, saying, quote, "Precautionary management needs to happen now." There is a pressure campaign that has drawn support from people on both the Yukon and Kuskokwim Rivers, calling on authorities to eliminate all salmon bycatch by offshore trawlers targeting other species. Next in sports, high school basketball is back. Last week, the Bethel Regional High School varsity teams donned their Warrior uniforms for the first time in nearly 2 years, since March 2020. The teams competed in Kodiak at the 54th annual Joe Floyd Basketball Tournament. The Lady Warriors took third in the tournament. They lost their first game against the eventual tournament champions, the North Pole Patriots, 57-36. The Bethel team came back to win its second game against the host team, the Kodiak Bears, 45-26. In their third game against the Nikiski Bulldogs, the Lady Warriors won by doubling their opponent's points, 50-25. In their final game, the Lady Warriors fell to the Soldotna Stars 42-31, and the Stars secured their place as the tournament runner-up. The Warrior boys lost their first game against the Nikiski Bulldogs 37-52 and also lost their second game against the Soldotna Stars 46-75. But the Bethel team came back to win their third game against the North Pole Patriots 53-44. The Kodiak Bears won the boys' tournament overall. Coaches from all the teams selected three Bethel players for the all-tournament teams, Ava Lieb and Bryn Garrison for the girls, and Peter Crow for the boys. Ava Lieb also won the tournament free throw contest. The next Warrior games will be held at home in Bethel this coming Friday and Saturday against the Palmer junior varsity teams. Turning to mining, a mining company is working with regional native corporation NANA to explore a big copper deposit in northwest Alaska. If built, the project could create hundreds of jobs and hundreds of millions of dollars in wages. But the mine, and a new 200-mile road needed to support it, would profoundly change one of the state's most remote regions where residents still depend on subsistence harvest. For the next story in our series on the 50th anniversary of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, Alaska Public Media's Nat Herz traveled to the upper Kobuk River, where he found residents deeply ambivalent.
It's a quiet late summer evening in northwest Alaska, and a young couple, Jeremy and Frances Williams, are upstream of their home village of Ambler, pulling into an eddy on the upper Kobuk to haul up their subsistence net. Over the side, one at a time, flop a half dozen pink and chum salmon, the start of their yearly harvest. This evening, we're the only boat out on the river, which is rich with salmon and sheafish. Like many other residents along the upper Kobuk, the Williamses depend on subsistence foods like these for a huge share of their diet.
Because we haven't even bought chicken for how long? I can't even remember. 3-4 years maybe.
Yeah, our kids don't like chicken.
I mean, like chicken nuggets.
Oh yeah, that one, but not chicken or beef. Oh, not beef.
It's peaceful and quiet out here as the boat drifts downstream. But there's a shadow hanging over this whole scene, an industrial-scale mining project and proposed 200-mile road that would cut through wilderness to near the villages just upstream.
If it happens, it happens.
I don't want it to, though.
Yeah.
It's going to change everything.
It's all changed the migration, pretty much. And I don't know. Just got to wait and see what they do.
I hope they don't.
You can find this kind of anxiety about the mine and road scattered all across the three different Upper Kobuk villages, particularly among young people. The next day, after a boat ride to Shungnak, the next village upriver, I run into some teenagers, among them Bryant's son, a 17-year-old who's into both basketball and subsistence, and who's not into the mine and the road.
Yeah, I mean, it'll make things easier for sure, but then with hunting and everything going on, and my dad has land just a few miles back there, traffic that'll be going through there with all that equipment and stuff going up there, it'll just scare everything off.
While Sun opposes the project, he says his dad sees things differently. And as it happens, we find his dad the next day. There's no road to the mining prospect from Shungnak, so Ambler Metals, the company developing the project, came to get us in a helicopter. The company's main camp is tucked back in the mountains above the Kobuk Valley. Helicopters head out from here to support crews drilling core samples from cliffside scaffolds. Groceries and fuel have to be flown in. After we land and take a walking tour, we head into the rec tent to meet with Fred's son, Bryant's father. Fred works here on a maintenance crew, using skills he acquired at another big mine in the region, Red Dog. Unlike his son, Fred supports this new project, but that doesn't mean he's any less connected to the land. He's an avid subsistence hunter, fisherman, and berry picker with two cabins on the Kobuk, one upriver and one downriver from his village. But as Fred says, people don't hunt by dog team anymore. They use modern tools like boats and guns that you need cash to pay for. And that's why Fred is not very sympathetic to his son Bryant's point of view that the mine and road shouldn't be built. Fred says Bryant hasn't had to work yet and that everything's come to him for free.
When you're Bryant's age, you know, you don't really have bills to worry about or house payments and things like that. He's never even bought a gun before, and he uses guns all the time. He doesn't realize everything he uses to help fill our freezer costs money.
This is the heart of the debate about the mine and road and about what's best for the three Upper Kobuk villages. This region is one of Alaska's most isolated. There's no road access, and fish and game are relatively plentiful. But what happens if the new road brings in competition from urban hunters? What if there's an accident at the mine that contaminates the river? But if those sound like existential challenges, Fred says these villages already face some of those. Gas costs $10 a gallon. High-paying jobs and housing are scarce. More than half the members of Shungnak's tribe are outside the region, Sun says.
I have so many friends and relatives that live in Fairbanks or Anchorage who would rather live in Shungnak, but there are just no opportunities there. There's no work there. The cost of living is too high.
The region's other big mine, Red Dog, has helped sustain Northwest Alaska villages with high-paying jobs and dividends through a unique partnership with NANA, the regional native corporation that owns the land the mine sits on. But Red Dog only has about a decade of ore left, and the only village downstream has objected to its impacts for decades. Unlike Red Dog, the main Ambler mining prospect is on state land, not native land. But NANA still has a stake in it through an agreement with the Ambler Metals Company. Ambler Metals president Ramsey Fawaz says the project won't be built without what he calls social license from residents, which the company is still working to get.
Nothing is can taken for granted. We would like to have social acceptance. We would like to maintain social acceptance. And we like to continue to work on it and improve it.
For now, there doesn't seem to be a consensus about the project in the Upper Kobuk villages. Some people are reserving judgment or think their opinion won't matter, in spite of what the company says. Critics and supporters don't seem to be able to bridge their differences, even within families or couples, like Lisa Lee and Alan Tickett in Shungnak. Ticket is an equipment operator at Red Dog.
I don't want it.
Good job.
It's gonna mess up the caribou migration. That's our way of
No,
living.
But everybody in Amder needs jobs, though.
No, but that's what we live on. Caribou, it's gonna mess up our caribou migration.
Sounds like you guys have difference of opinion here.
Yep.
Well, because he's the operator, but I'm his girlfriend, so I live off the land.
No, she lives off my money.
The mine's construction, if it happens, is still years away. And environmental groups have also sued to challenge the federal government's environmental approvals for the road. The lawsuit has not yet been decided. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
This story is part of a reporting collaboration between Alaska Public Media, Indian Country Today, and the Anchorage Daily News on the 50th anniversary in 2021 of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, with financial support from the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Kwayana for listening. Please email us your news tips and feedback at email address news@kyuk.org or send us a message on Facebook. And stay tuned for News Yuktun coming up.